We're going to read God's Word, turning to Ephesians and the second chapter. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll begin reading at the verse 1. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." We'll end there at verse 13, and we do know that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Turning back to Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 1, we read, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Tonight we want to concentrate on the subject of the sinner's bankrupt spiritual condition. And this chapter certainly highlights that situation. But before we get into it, let's just seek the Lord and ask for his help again in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the scriptures of truth. They are inspired of thee. Come down to us for our learning. And O God, we pray that our perusal of scripture this evening will be owned and blessed of thee, convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come, and deliver souls out of their bankrupt spiritual condition. Save them by thy grace, and bring them to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. For we ask it in his name. Amen. There is no doubt that the message of the Bible doesn't flatter men in their natural state. Instead, the Bible honestly states the facts concerning the sinner's bankrupt spiritual condition. Such a diagnosis is by no means gladly received by many people today. It is unwelcome, and many reject the verdict of Scripture on their spiritual condition. However, no cure was ever effected by a poor diagnosis of the condition. It's only when a proper diagnosis of one's condition is made that the proper cure can then be applied. And in the spiritual realm, it is exactly the same. The Bible makes an exact spiritual diagnosis of our condition and tells us just as it is. And the reading of this chapter is one of those portions of Scripture that plainly declares man's spiritual bankruptcy before the Lord. My friend, if you're here tonight, and we're glad to see you, but if you're without Christ, you can be sure that you are spiritually bankrupt in the sight of God. There are three things we want to say this evening concerning this subject, that this bankruptcy is total, it is universal, and in the third place, thank God, it's curable. There's an answer to it. If we were to tell you that spiritual bankruptcy was universal, it was worldwide, it affects all mankind, and that it was total, entire, and leave it there, we would be in despair, and there would be no hope. But thank God, this condition is curable. There's an answer to it. And Christ Himself is the answer to that need. That's the good news of Scripture. That's the good news of the Gospel, because the Gospel means good news. And thank God, there is good news for the sinner tonight. Salvation for the sinner begins with submission to the accuracy of God's assessment of the situation. And if you're prepared to accept the accuracy of the Bible as it states your condition, then thank God there's hope. Thank God there's light. Thank God there's a way of deliverance. Just how does the Bible describe the spiritual condition in which unconverted man was born and still continues? No more comprehensive statement of the Bible's teaching on this particular subject can be found than that which is stated in our catechism, because it says, wherein consists the sinfulness of that estate whereinto man fell? And it gives the answer very concisely. And it says, the sinfulness of that estate into which man fell consists in the guilt of Adam's first sin, the want of original righteousness, and the corruption of his whole nature, which is commonly called original sin, together with all actual transgressions which proceed from it. What a powerful definition of the sinner, of the fall, the result of Adam and his disobedience in the Garden of Eden. And in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, does the Apostle Paul not relate to us that there is none righteous. No, not one. None righteous, no, not one. Here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. In Psalm 51, we learn that we're even shapen in iniquity. Just think about it. Shapen in iniquity. Matthew chapter 15 tells us in verse 19 that out of the mouth proceedeth evil thoughts and adulteries and all manner of thefts and sin of every kind. Out of the heart, oh man, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked. Who can know it? God alone knows the sinfulness of the heart of man. Man doesn't recognize it himself. And this sinfulness is universal. The depth of this wickedness is universal. We may be offended by the Bible's diagnosis, but the truth is that no doctor ever spoke with such kindness to his patient as the Lord speaks to sinners. As the Lord addresses men and women, as the Lord shows them the terrible condition in which they're living, and soon their living will be no more because death is on their track. And when the body dies, the soul then is lost and it's in hell forever. God is merciful in making that plain in the Scriptures. He's merciful in showing to us the plainness of the Word of God. And considering what we have said already concerning man's sinfulness, it has to be noted that there are no exceptions to this condition. I said it's universal. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 36 says, "There is no man that sinneth not." That includes you. And whether you recognize it or not, you're a sinner without Christ. This is a key doctrine of the Word of God. Men may find many distractions of lifestyle and behavior and belief, but my friend, in this modern society, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. I'm glad tonight that God is faithful, telling us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, you may say, "I'm not a murderer. I'm not a thief. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't broken through and stolen." You might say that many things like that. But my friend, you may not actually be a thief. And you may not have murdered anybody. But the Bible says that if we offend in one point, then you're guilty of all. Imagine, if you offend in one point, the Bible says keep the Sabbath day. Have you offended? The Bible says, the commandment says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Have you offended? The Bible says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Have you offended? When it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother," are you an offender? "Thou shalt not bear false witness." "Thou shalt not steal." "Thou shalt not lie."
Tell me, are you an offender?
And the Bible tells us that if we keep not the whole law, then we're guilty, if we even offend in some point. And so all are guilty tonight, and we've all come short of the standard that God has set in His Word. And the law is given in order for men to see how far short they have fallen of what God requires. And measured against that law, my, we can see how much we have indeed come short of the standard. You're guilty. You're a sinner. This is universal. It's on all men everywhere, regardless of their background or status or creed or color. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, you're a sinner tonight. Many show the clear evidence that they are sinners by the way they indulge in the sins of this world. There are others who may not show it so evidently, and they might think that they walk the clean side of the road. There is no such thing, because everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every heart is sinful. All are guilty before God. And this is the reason. Because sin has entered into the world, and we have fallen in Adam's sin. The universality of sin. The awful state of the sinner's bankrupt condition. Then what about the totality of our sin? Sin is not only universal, but it is total. Some may say that though they are sinners, that nevertheless they are capable of pleasing God, and that after all they are not just so bad as others. And the second thing that the Catechism answers, tells us and stresses, is that every man is a sinner. All mankind by the fall. That's what it tells us. There's no difference. There's no difference. Every man is a sinner through and through. Totally a sinner. If the first truth that sin is universal is unpalatable to people, then it's most likely that the second truth, that sin is total, is even more unpalatable to sinners, because it makes you out a total sinner. But it is true, whether men like it or not. Whether men like it or not doesn't alter the fact one iota. And it will not alter the destination of the sinner one iota. Regardless how a man argues or reasons or thinks about these matters, it will not change his destination one bit. And so you better face up to it. You better recognize that you are a sinner. That you are a total sinner. That you're not just a good sinner in the sight of God. You need to be saved from your sin. You need to be born again and washed in the blood of the Savior. You need God's salvation. You need to be saved. The Bible tells us we're shapen in iniquity. The wicked, the Bible goes on to say, is estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. You might not admit you're a liar, but if you're denying God's truth and denying the Lord Jesus Christ and what He said, then you are a liar. Christ is truth. He never told a lie. And to spurn Christ and to deny his words is to make God out a liar, which is even worse still. So therefore there's no escape. My dear friend, how shall you escape if you neglect God's so great salvation? He has provided salvation in the most wonderful of ways. He loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, from glory into this world. The Lord Jesus was born by a virgin, and he lived a sinless life, and he went about doing good, and he healed all manner of diseases, and at the end of his life's ministry, he voluntarily set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He knew the cross was before him, because for this purpose, he said, was I born and brought into this world. His coming was in order to die, to suffer on the cross of Calvary, and to take the place of sinners and die for them there, bearing their shame and their sin on the tree. And thank God tonight, there is a way back to the Lord. And when we come to the cross and bow in humility and repentance before the Savior, we rejoice tonight that there is forgiveness for all our sin and acceptance with the Father. Thank God the Father was, he accepted his Son's death. He accepted his Son's shedding of his blood on my account, that I might be acceptable to him in glory. And friend tonight, thank God, Jesus is the way. There's no other way. Oh, it might not be politically correct to say that today, for there are those who want us to believe that all religions lead to the same place and will eventually lead to heaven, and everybody will get there by their own way of believing and their own practice of religion. It's a lie from hell. If a man follows the way of Islam, he'll perish in hell. If a man follows the way of Romanism, he'll die unsaved. There's only one mediator. There's only one God. If a man follows the way of present-day Judaism, he'll go to hell. Any man who rejects the Messiah and rejects Christ cannot be saved. There's only one way. And my friend, you must come that way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. No man can come to the Father but by me. No man, Jesus said, can come to the Father but by me. It's not through Mary or Buddha or Allah or anybody else. It's by Jesus Christ. It's through him I get an entrance into heaven. My friend tonight, I'm glad the gospel is plain. Oh, it may smart the soul. It may smite the heart and conscience. It may make you mad at times. But I'm glad that in spite of the sinner's madness, there's gladness to be found by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many's a man used to curse Christ, used to blaspheme him, and deny that there's any truth in the gospel. But when God opened his eyes and he saw the truth as it is in Jesus Christ, that man repented and became
the greatest follower of the Master. I think of Saul of Tarsus, that hard-hearted religious bigot of a Pharisee. My, how he hated the Church of Jesus Christ. He hated the new way, as he called it. He hated the Savior. But when Christ met him and changed him on the Damascus Road, what a man he became. The man who destroyed the church was now a builder of churches. The man who defamed Christ was now making Christ famous by preaching him throughout the world in all his missionary journeys. And my friend, if such a change can take place in a man like that, there's none too hard for the Lord. You can be changed. You can come. You can find newness of life in Christ. You can be born again tonight and leave this building knowing the assurance of God's salvation in your soul. Will you do that? Will you not come? Recognize your state before the Lord and trust Him. God's word depicts man lying, lost, condemned, helpless in such a state. Nowhere is the picture more vividly drawn than in the scriptures we read tonight, and also in the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. And the man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and who fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And the priest and the Levite, they passed by. They saw him, but they went to the other side of the road. They had no time for him. But when the Samaritan came and saw the condition, he took the man up and he went to the inn and he paid for his keep and he had the man attended to properly, from which he came back to health again. Oh, thank God the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't pass us by on the other side. No, He comes to where you are. He come to where sin was and to where sinners were lying condemned and helpless in their state of iniquity. And praise God, His touch has lost none of its ancient power, and His arm is still strong to save, and He's able to lift up the fallen, and He's able to lift from the very guttermost, like the psalmist, from the pit, the miry clay, to the rock. And thank God he received a new song, even praise unto the Lord. You can receive that tonight by simple faith in Christ, who came to die on the cross and shed His precious blood that we might be saved. Thank God this sinner's bankrupt spiritual condition is curable. And Christ is that cure. Will you accept Him? Will you take Him tonight? Will you trust Him as your Savior? Thank God He's here, the one mighty to save, able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by Him. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Our gracious and eternal God, we give Thee thanks for Thy precious word.
We bless Thee that in spite of the state of our sinfulness, there is indeed a cure. And we thank Thee that the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. And him that cometh unto the Saviour, Lord, Thou hast promised You will not cast out. May there be a coming to Christ, a drawing of the Spirit's power, deliverance from the bondage of death. May there be that experience of newness of life in Christ. We ask it in the Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen.